Good morning. It's good to see all of you out and your bright and smiling faces. I hope that you're doing okay this morning. If not, we can pray for one another and encourage one another. And hopefully by the time you leave this morning, you'll be feeling even better than when you came. Let's go ahead and take a look at our bulletins. A number of things to take note of. As we look at the top there, we have our schedule of meetings for this week. We do have Park Ridge Manor Nursing Home Ministry this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Then our evening service, we have our Bible studies on Tuesday, and then our Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday night. As we go down a little bit further, we do have our birthdays. I want to wish a happy birthday to those people. And then also see where it says ministry opportunity. And we do have an opportunity here at the church. And sometimes you may be wondering, well, what can I do at the church? Well, here is an opportunity, and if you're willing and able, we'd be glad to give you this opportunity. Well, that is true. You may be willing but not able. But this has a little bit of a physical element to it. We have an opportunity for church cleaning, and we want to keep our building in good shape. We want to keep the inside looking nice, and we have the opportunity now for the church members, if there's enough interest, to let's make a cleaning schedule where perhaps one family or one group of people cleans the church one week and then another the next week, and I'm just kind of putting feelers out to see if there's enough interest in this, enough people willing and able to help, so that we can have the church family clean the church and basically take ownership of this. And if we do the cleaning, then we kind of take ownership, and we want to keep it nice and looking good to the glory of God. And so if you're interested, if you're willing and able to help with this, come and talk to me, and then we'll see what we can do perhaps as far as getting a schedule put together. So be thinking and praying about that. And then as we continue on with our announcements, next week we're doing something special. We'll have our normal Sunday school and our normal worship service in the morning, but then we're going to be planning, if you're able, to go to Norville Park, just off of Broadway there. There's a community center, and then there's a park area with a shelter, and we want to go there for lunch and have a cookout. And there is a sign-up sheet on the back, and the way we're planning it, the church will supply the hot dogs and the hamburgers and the buns and the table service and the beverages, and you bring a couple side dishes, whether it's potato salad or macaroni salad or chips, whatever goes along well with hot dogs and hamburgers. And so that will be right after the AM service. Dan Lamb is going to go and camp out and secure a shelter for us. And we'll bring grills and everything. And then, weather permitting, we'll be having the cookout. And then afterwards, we'll have an afternoon service, a time of praising the Lord and a devotional. So that's something to look forward to. If you are able to come, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, and it'll be a great time. Go ahead and bring lawn chairs if you prefer that over picnic tables, and then also outdoor games if you have anything that you think would be fun to play. And so that's the plan for next week. And then also I have a thank you from Bob and Maude Burkhart. And they want to thank you a lot for all of the cards they've received recently, for all the prayers. And keep on praying for Bob and Maude. Bob is in really good spirits, but physically he's going downhill. He's on oxygen all the time. He's laying down most of the time too. So be praying for both of them, Maude and Bob Burkhart. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. And truly it is a privilege to gather together as a group of born-again believers to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we do thank you for Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us, for all that he means to us. And I pray that we'd have the desire to be like Jesus Christ in every area of our life. And even as we know many people here this morning, I pray that we would encourage one another, that we'd be praying for one another, that we'd be helping one another grow spiritually. And I even do pray now for some of our members. I do pray for Bob and Maud Burkhart, especially for Bob, that you'd comfort him, that you'd ease his pain. Do pray for Maud, too, as it's a difficult time for her, that you strengthen her and give her comfort. Do even pray for Chuck and Karen Randalls and for their physical needs. I do even pray for Charlie as he'll be moving here soon. Pray that you'd help him during that time of transition. And pray for others that have been struggling with their health or having injuries. I pray that you'd give them a special amount of grace, that you'd help them through these difficulties. And we know that if we look to you, you will help us during these times. Help us to trust you more during the difficult times. Help us to have our faith strengthened. And so I do thank you for this church. I do thank you for the privilege it is to know each and every person here and to minister to one another. And so I do pray that this morning that you would receive glory and honor, that your name would be lifted up. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand this morning and begin with 521. 521. 521, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved is the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. So let's sing.
Seated. Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
We're going to sing 277. Look at the progression of the songs we sing. We just sang Redeemed. Our love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we become saved. Jesus Christ takes us from where we were, stuck in sin, and brings us into a relationship with Him and forgives us, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then we become, as it says in 277, the church. And the one foundation of that church is Jesus Christ our Lord. And soon we'll sing praise to God who reigns above. And as the church, we can sing praise to God who reigns above through Jesus Christ our Lord. So can you see the progression? Yet at the center of it all is Jesus Christ. So let's sing 277, the church's one foundation. Number 6, sing praise to God who reigns above. The God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, He is one God, and He is the God of all. Let's sing number 6. Sung this song here?
Yes, once.
Once. You remember?
Yes, I still can.
Okay. That's incredible. This song is almost ageless. It's been around forever. It's been sung for a very, very long time. But that's okay. It's always good to learn something new. Let's continue on that third verse then. The Lord is never far away. Speak, O Lord. Speak, O Lord. If you don't have one of those sheets, just quick raise your hand. We can provide one for you. I think we've learned this one pretty well, and very soon we should be moving on to another one, a new song that we can learn, sing, and make part of our worship. So let's sing, Speak, O Lord. that second verse, it always gets me. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. I would rather they be tested in the radiance of pastor's purity or somebody else's purity, but no, of God's purity. And that glory, that purity, there's not anything that can stand. No sin can touch. Incredible. At this time, we'll have our morning offering. Let's pray to that God of purity that we'll worship Him with a pure heart in our giving. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much, Lord, that You are not a God that has been constructed by the minds of men. Father, we read of gods and mythologies of deities that are sinful, Father, that are flawed, that have great power, but, Father, are not holy, are not pure. Father, we thank You that You are the God, that You are the King of kings, Lord of lords, that You are majestic above all, and in You there is no darkness. And Lord, that in You, Father, we can find true happiness, true peace, because not only are You the God, but You are also our Creator. Lord, because of all these things, because of the truth of these things, I pray, Father, that we would come to You humbly in worship, Father, examining our hearts, laying our sins before You, casting aside our burdens, our sins which cling so closely, and coming to You, the author and perfecter of our faith, Father, that we may come together and worship You in sanctity and holiness. And Father, I pray that part of that this morning would be giving. Lord, I pray that we would demonstrate again that our possessions are not our own, but Yours. And Father, that we would not hold them closely. Lord, I pray that we would even move beyond this. Father, beyond, Lord, the fact that everything we have is Yours, and to greater things, Father, to a deeper sanctification in the faith and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Stand as we close our song service this morning with 81. 81, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The children can go ahead and be dismissed to children's church. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful Savior that is Jesus, our Jesus. We thank you day in and day out for what Jesus has done. And we do thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that we can learn from it. And even as we look at what the church is all about and how we can glorify you, I do pray that you'd challenge us and that you'd encourage us. I truly do pray that the church's one foundation in practice would be Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that we'd be serving you in spirit and in truth. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fellowship. Have you heard that word before? Fellowship. It's a word that we use quite a bit here at Nordville Baptist Church. Now, whenever you think of fellowship, especially at Nordville Baptist Church, what do you think of? What goes right hand in hand with fellowship? Food. Food and fellowship. And you know, that's really kind of a Baptist distinctive, isn't it? We've been going through the Baptist distinctives in Sunday school, and really, if we could put food and fellowship, if we'd fit into the Baptist acrostic there. But really, food and fellowship goes hand in hand. It's like a horse and carriage, or like, what, love and marriage? Is that how it goes? Food and fellowship? Kind of like that. We love our food, we love our fellowship together. And you know what? You may think, well, that's kind of a relatively recent phenomenon to have food and fellowship go together like that. Maybe that's just something that's happened over the past, you know, few centuries or whatever. But you know what? You can go all the way back to the beginning of the church, and truly, food and fellowship did go together. The first Christians, they ate together. They had fellowship one with another. And we'll be looking at that a little bit later on. But even from the earliest days of the church, believers, born-again believers, they had a good time together. They laughed and fellowshipped over the table. They enjoyed one another's company. And what a blessing it is to be a part of a church. And to be a part of this church, Nordville Baptist Church, and to have that fellowship. Now last week, if you remember, if you were able to be here, we began a series on the church and God's glory. And we asked ourselves, well, why am I here at church? And we went through various reasons why a person may go to church. And there are many good reasons to come to church. It may be because you want to hear good preaching. It may be because you enjoy the fellowship, like we've just been talking about. It may be because you want to pray with one another and for one another. All those different reasons, many good reasons to worship God. That could be a reason that you give. But all of these things ultimately do what? They should glorify God, the one who has saved us in the person of Jesus Christ. We want to glorify God. We want to worship Him in spirit and truth. And so we may give all these different reasons as far as wanting to grow in our spiritual walk, wanting to hear preaching, wanting to be taught, wanting to practice our faith. But all of those things ultimately must give glory to our God. God formed His church. Why? To give Him glory and to be a mouthpiece so that we might declare to everyone, near and far, who God is and what He desires of men and women. He created the church so that it would be a bright and shining testimony to the lost. A bright and shining testimony to those who need to know about Jesus Christ. A powerful testimony to the majestic power and greatness of our God. And so, as a part of God's plan, and if you are a born-again believer, you are a part of God's plan, you are a part of what we call the universal church, the body of Christ, we have an integral part of proclaiming God's goodness, of proclaiming God's glory to men and women everywhere. We have the privilege of sharing with others how they can become believers in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But it doesn't end there. And after they believe, then we can have a part in discipling them, helping them to become more like Jesus Christ, helping them to grow like Him in each and every way. What a wonderful privilege. And so we ask ourselves, well, how does the church give glory to God? And truly, we can say just a broad answer. We can say, well, by everything we do, whether as individuals or as a church, everything we do should give glory to God, right? Because we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. So really, we could answer that question very broadly and say, well, everything the church does should give glory and honor to God. But yet, we can identify certain things in the Scriptures that the church should be doing to give glory and honor to our God who has saved us. But we recognize, first of all, even before we are able to give glory in that way, first and foremost, we have to be saved from our sins. And we saw even last week, in our own salvation, that gives extreme glory to God. Whenever we are saved from the bondage of sin, and truly, whenever we were lost, before we know Jesus, we were enslaved in the bondage of sin. We were slaves of the devil. He was our master. But God, in His mercy, in Jesus Christ, delivered us from that bondage of sin, from that slavery to the devil, and transferred us to the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. And the moment we're saved, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the one who empowers us to live a righteous and a holy life. It's the Holy Spirit who produces His fruit in our lives. And by that also we give glory to Him. And so as we think about salvation and truly how wonderful it is, and we sing that song, the wonder of it all, that God would love me. And truly it is a marvel, it is a wonder, that God would die for me in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man. Jesus Christ died for me. And then He was gracious to me and had someone come and share the gospel with me, and He opened my eyes so that I could see the truth of who He is. Praise God. He saved sinners like you and I.
Amen.
He saved a wretch like me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it in the least amount. It's not as if I'm some good person and God looked down from heaven and said, wow, Philip is he's a pretty special guy, and so I'm going to save him. Or it's not as if God looked ahead to the future and said, well, Philip is going to do this or that, and I'm going to save him because of that. No, we can't lay any claim to what God has given to us. We can't lay any claim to God's graciousness to us. God deserves all of the glory. We get none of it for ourselves. God gets it all. And praise the Lord for that. And so when we think about fellowship, that's where it all begins. Our own salvation in Jesus Christ and our fellowship with one another. The moment we're saved, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And that is a huge body of believers from the day of Pentecost up until the future rapture. That is the body of Christ, what is called the universal church. But then, not only that, God desires for each and every individual not only to be a member of the universal church, we have no choice in that. The moment we're saved, we become a part of the body of Christ. But after that, God desires us to obey Him in baptism, to become a part also of a local body of believers. A local body of believers that have joined together to worship God in spirit and truth, to glorify Him. And God has a desire that we'd be a part of a local New Testament church. Incredible. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. We looked at one passage last week. We want to focus in on our salvation just a little bit more here. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. We want to have it imprinted upon our minds, the glory that God gets, the glory that God receives whenever we are saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And look for the word glory as we read through these verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. So if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, it is because of God's goodness and grace on our behalf. God deserves all the glory. He has showered upon us all of these spiritual blessings. And notice in verse 6, all of this is to the praise of the glory of His grace. We don't deserve any of it. God deserves all of the glory and the praise. God chose us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us so that we might be holy and without blame before Him, the sons of God. It was according to God's good pleasure. It wasn't based on anything that we would do. It was based upon God's love and His mercy. Go down to verses 11 through 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. Look for the word glory once again. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Do you think God is concerned about His glory? I think God is very concerned about His glory. And even though lost men and women do not give Him the glory, ultimately one day they will. But we as believers, we want to give Him glory. And even as we look at what God has done in our lives, the moment we trusted in Christ, it was to the praise of His glory. The moment He gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us, that was to the praise of His glory. We can be confident of our salvation, of our eternal security, because God has given us the Holy Spirit to the praise of His glory. And so if you're saved this morning, you can praise the Lord that He glorified Himself just by the simple fact of your salvation. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. But whenever God saved the Ephesians, whenever God saved us, whenever we may have gotten saved, or if you haven't been saved yet, God still wants to work in your life. Whenever God saved us, He brought people from all different walks of life. And they didn't have anything in common except for the fact that they were sinners and God had grace upon them and they were saved. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. They may have totally different backgrounds. They may speak different languages. They may have different color of their skin. Whatever the case may be. But God has had grace upon us. And we have that in common, that we are saved by grace to the praise of God's glory. And so as we continue on in Ephesians, we read chapter 2 for the scripture reading. But we want to look in at verse... we saw it there, Ephesians chapter 2. Why don't you turn there? You're already in Ephesians chapter 1 with me. But Ephesians chapter 2... We see where all of us were at as we look at the first part of it there. All of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. All of us at one time walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. All of us once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. But notice verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We have that in common. God has saved us to the praise of His glory. And God not only saved Jews, those who were considered close to God, but He also saved the Gentiles, those who were far away from God. And you know what God did? Whenever He created the church, He saved both Jew and Gentile. And what did He do? He made one new man. Fellowship. Unity in the Spirit. That is what the church is. It's all about fellowship. It is a special entity, the church is. There's not any special class of people. No. There's no favorites. Some that are better than the others. No, we are all one in Christ. We read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So if you're saved, you're part of a huge family, the family of God. Praise the Lord for that. We have brothers and sisters that number in the millions. We may not know all of them, but we have a huge family, a family of God that we are a part of. But as I mentioned earlier, yes, we are part of this huge family, but God doesn't want us just to be a part of a huge family and that's it. God wants us to be a part of a smaller family, the local church. God desires us to fellowship in a local body of believers. That's what God's desire is. He wants us to be baptized after we're saved, to join a local church, to enjoy those benefits of fellowship and encouragement and teaching, accountability, admonishment, and all of it to give glory to God. We go back to Acts chapter 2. We talked about the early days of the church, the beginning of the church, and fellowship was an integral part of that early worship of the church. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. What does it say here? Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then verses 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And so in the early days of the church, everything was happening as God intended. Men and women were being saved. They were being baptized. They became a part, yes, of the body of Christ, the universal church, but also they were a part of the local church. The moment they believed, they were part of the body of Christ, the universal church. But then shortly after, they were baptized, they became a part of a local church. But then what did they do? As members of that Jerusalem church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayers. They were agreed in their purpose. They had a unity of mind. They had one accord as they met in the temple. They broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That was the fellowship that God intended for the church. God was glorified greatly as the people fellowship together. And the people, they were filled with joy and with contentment. And so we see the unification of the church in their worship, in their purpose. They desired to serve the Lord their God. That was God's desire back in Jerusalem in the first days of the church. That's God's desire for us today as well, that we might be united together in fellowship. But all too often today, we fail to join together in the fellowship of the local church. Or even if we are a part of a local church, far too often we allow there to be divisions among us. We allow strife and discord to separate us, to break that true fellowship. We don't want that to happen. But yet, that's the case far too often. We see that even in Paul's day, the church in Corinth. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We have people in Corinth, born-again believers. They were members of that local church. But what was happening in that local church? They were failing to glorify God. They weren't showing unity together. They did not have that true fellowship with Jesus Christ. They didn't have that fellowship with one another. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. And what does Paul admonish the Corinthians here? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? That shows us clearly. Paul was showing the Corinthians very clearly. You have been called to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. But sadly, in the Corinthian church, they were falling apart. They didn't have fellowship. They had divisions. They had their own little cliques, their own little groups. Some said, oh, I am of Paul. We have the Paul group. We had the Peter or the Cephas group. We had the Apollos group. We had the super spiritual ones, the Jesus Christ group. Okay? We have all of these cliques within the church. Was that giving glory to God? I don't think so. Paul was admonishing them. This isn't the way it should be. There should be no divisions among you. God has called you to the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't have cliques. Don't have opposing parties. Don't let there be any divisions among you. Be one in spirit and in purpose. Give glory to God. It goes against our very spiritual existence. Being one in Jesus Christ, it goes against that very existence. Whenever we have divisions, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And so don't be like the Corinthians. We can learn from their poor example. We must not show partiality. We must not shun any of our brothers or sisters in Christ just because we don't like them or whatever the case may be. We must be one in Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can truly glorify God as we should. That's the only way that the world really is going to see Jesus Christ in us. If we have the fellowship that God has called us to. Whenever we're united in Christ, get this, this is amazing. Whenever we show that fellowship in an outward way, whenever that's a clear example, a clear testimony, whenever we're united in Christ, actually we're an answer to prayer. And you know whose prayer we're an answer to? We are an answer to Jesus' own prayer. Turn with me to John chapter 17. We've gone through this not too long ago in the past, but this is so crucial for us. John chapter 17, and verses 20 through 23. What does Jesus pray in John chapter 17 and verse 20? I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Those verses are just filled with so much. Look at verse 20. Jesus is praying specifically for me and for you. If you are a born-again believer, Jesus prayed specifically for us. Because what did He say here? I do not pray for these alone, but for all those, also for those who will believe in me through their word. How did we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Ultimately, it was through the witness, the testimony of the disciples of our Lord. And it just came down through the centuries. Jesus Christ prayed for us. He prayed that we might be united in Himself and in the Father. And it is only as we are united in the Father and in the Son that we can be one. That is the only way. We must be unified in doing the works of God and speaking the words of God. And so Jesus prayed for this unity. He prayed for this oneness. And He prayed this so that something might happen as a result. He prayed this so that the world may believe that God sent Him. And so not only does our fellowship glorify God, but our fellowship in and of itself is going to lead to further glory to God. As lost men and women look at us and recognize that Jesus Christ is someone special, that Jesus Christ has changed our lives, and through our testimony, lost men and women will be saved so that they too can glorify God. And so as we are united in God, as we are one in Him, there's going to be a clear and a bold witness to the lost world. There's going to be that witness that Jesus is who He said He is. That He is the one who was sent by God the Father. And whenever we live as one in Jesus and in the Father, then the world is going to take notice. They're going to see that something is different about us. They're going to recognize that yes, God truly did send His Son into this world. So how important is it for this oneness in the body of Christ? It is so important. It is absolutely essential. There is a dire need for us to be united in Jesus Christ, to be united in God, in doing His purpose, in doing His works, in declaring His words. Now, we don't want to get the wrong idea here. It's not as if we just all get together regardless of what we believe. We must be united in the truth. We must be united in the truth of God's Word. There is no unification otherwise. But as we hold to the truth, as we unite in fellowship together, that is when God is glorified. As we continue on in verse 22 of John chapter 17, "And the glory which You gave Me I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one." God the Father gave glory to God the Son, to Jesus Christ. And now Jesus gives that glory to those who believe in His name. He gives that glory to us. God the Father gave God the Son the privilege of declaring who He was. And God the Son is giving us that privilege as born-again believers to declare who the Father is, who Jesus Christ is. We can glorify God. We can display that glory whenever we declare the fullness of who God is and who His Son Jesus is. "And the glory which You gave Me I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one." The gospel, the glory of God, it truly unifies us. It should be unifying us for the glory of His name. As we continue on in verse 23, "I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me, and have loved them as You have loved Me." Unity isn't something that just happens. That unity of fellowship, it takes hard work. Jesus Christ prayed that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me. We must work hard. We must put forth effort to be unified in Jesus Christ. We must put forth effort to have that fellowship, to shun all divisions, all ungodly divisions. And truly, as we are made perfect in one, the world will know that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation. Isn't that incredible? How God gives Himself the glory, and He chooses to do that through us. A couple more passages quickly we want to look at. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7. As we consider the fellowship of the church, the unity we must have in the Godhead. 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 through 7. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so we ask the question, how can we have fellowship with God? How can we have fellowship with one another? And the answer is, as we walk in the light, as Jesus Christ walks in the light. That is how we have fellowship with God and with one another. The only time we're going to be truly united together is whenever we're living together in obedience to God. Whenever we're walking in the steps of the Savior. So we must not give in to the old man, to our old desires to sin. We must not let those divisions come between us. We must join together in true spiritual harmony, giving the glory to God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, our final passage this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, by looking out for your brothers and sisters in Christ, even before you look out for your own interests. You have that attitude of sacrificial love, that attitude that Jesus Christ himself displayed whenever he died on the cross for us. And so how do we glorify God at Nordville Baptist Church? How do we glorify God here at Nordville Baptist Church? We do it by shunning divisions and partisanship. We do it by being joined together in true spiritual harmony and unity with God, revealing to the world who Jesus Christ is, what God desires them to do. We do it by sharing together in the spiritual triumphs and in the hardships. We do it ultimately so that we might be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. So Lord, may you bind us together in true Christian fellowship, and may you be glorified as we serve you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you truly would help us to be united in fellowship. I pray that we'd be giving you great glory, and that even as we are united in fellowship, the world will take notice, and lost sinners will come to know you and even further glorify your name. And so we do pray that we, as believers, would glorify you. Help us to make those decisions we need to make, whether it be baptism or church membership, or whether it is just the fact of living in harmony with you and one another. Help us to strive for the unity of the faith in Jesus Christ. So we do pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and close this morning with 333. 333, His way with thee.
Have his way with you this morning. I hope you are. It is a continual process, letting God have more and more of yourself. Are you willing to let God have his way with you, specifically in the area of Christian fellowship? Are you willing to shun ungodly division? Are you willing to love one another and to have that true fellowship so that God might be glorified? Do you love one another? Do you love all of your brothers and sisters here at Nordville Baptist Church? Are you praying for their spiritual growth? Are you encouraging them? Do you have that fellowship with one another in Jesus Christ? Let Him have His way with thee.
Let's close with that second verse.
Yeah.
we do pray that you would have your way with us. Father, we pray that, Lord, we would willingly surrender those things in our life which we hold so closely. Father, that we would realize that you are our all in all, and that in Jesus Christ we are unified as one body. Lord, I pray that, Father, we would examine our lives. Father, we would examine how we use our time. Father, those things which we let take priority in our days. And I pray that, Lord, we would hold those up to your holy purity as well, Father, that we would see and understand how you feel about them, Father. Even if they may not be wrong, Father, that we would, Lord, be humble enough to ask you whether they are useful. So, Lord, let our lives be all the more made into the image of Jesus Christ in this way. And let your body and this local body, this church, be built up as each and every one of us come into the deeper grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.